There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, with me as ever is Marek Larwood.
Hello, listeners.
And we're going to talk about films for approximately 45 minutes.
Hang on a second, it's not just us this week, is it?
We've only gone and got another bloody guest.
Yeah, a very special guest. A man who I've worked with on the British version of Impractical Jokers, the first series and the second series. The only man that managed to... the man who saved my sanity. Please welcome Joel Dommett. Can you clap yourself?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can always applaud yourself.
It was such an unbelievably lovely sort of build up to my name that I thought, you know, it was a round of applause worthy situation.
I wonder if you clap yourself, if this applause in the background it gives you extra credence. It might be a good way of you start doing a speech and you start clapping yourself so everyone thinks that you're right.
I once. At a festival, was listening to a young group of boys doing their act inside a tent.
Hang on a minute.
Comedians, they were comedians. I wasn't inside, I've no idea what they were getting up to.
And you heard this coming from inside.
It from the crowd noise, it sounded like they were ripping the place apart, like they were going down so well. And I was with some other comedians just going, God, they're storming this, aren't they? I only found out afterwards that they had a sound effect tape of applause going on throughout their entire show. So from everyone outside thought it was the best thing ever.
There's a popular gig that happens in town, and every time that you do it, there's like an applause and laughter type thing that just runs constantly over the sort of audience. Yeah. So it always plays at the end of the gig, and all the audience leaves and they're sort of filtering out, and then it's like, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, and everyone's like, well, no one's making any noise.
Maybe it's the ghosts of the audiences who've died laughing so hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Two or three people.
I'm glad that I saved your sanity though, Marek Larwood.
Thanks, Joe.
You shouldn't say the British version of Impractical.
Well,
you should
just
say...
Do you know what? Because we've got listeners from all over the world. From Iceland, Malta...
South Korea.
Yes.
Not North Korea.
Not North.
No, we've got none. No one in North Korea.
North. We're really popular, but no one can talk about it.
They download it in South Korea and then cross the border.
God, I hope no one's getting themselves in danger because of us.
Oh, wow.
Wow, smuggling the podcast.
Right? I went to Malta. It's an absolute treat.
It's a great place, isn't
it? I did some gigs there, yeah. It's really
fun.
Isn't
it like for old people to go on holiday?
I don't know, really.
Decent scuba diving.
Yes. Yeah.
I learned to scuba dive there.
You learnt there?
Yeah.
That's cool. Someone offered me to learn there, and I was scared. I'm scared of water.
Are you?
So I went to the water park instead, because I thought that's shallower.
It is shallow.
And it was the most dodgy place I've ever been.
Is it like in George 4 George 3 when the shark gets into the park? George 3 when the shark gets into the actual water world?
That must be their doomsday scenario at a water park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've looked at everything else that's probably going to happen.
Shark in the flume.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't even think of this! Yeah. Oh, why didn't this come up in the board meeting?
It's coming down at speed.
Oh, gosh.
That would be really... I would like to see that, a shark...
Shark in
the
flume.
Is it the flume or the slide?
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Great. So you get... Instead of giving people proper, death sentences, they should do that. Like, you've got a 10-second head start on the shark.
Oh, but then you'd just be like...
No, down the slide. They put it down the slide. Okay. So you just see what comes at the bottom. Yeah. So it's really exciting. They chuck someone. Yeah. You chuck someone down.
But either way, you're going to die because you're just going to get to the bottom anyway.
It's like America's version of the guillotine, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what? Like, wasn't it like, what's it called? Like Sex Box or something on Channel 4? Like, that was out a few weeks ago. And I feel like we're only like a few years away from a reality show that's like that.
Not if Sex Box was the, if you're one of our listeners abroad, Sex Box was a programme where they basically had people having sex in a plastic box and while people talk about it afterwards.
But you didn't see anything was sort of the whole point was just like, we can get away with this. People are literally through that piece of plastic having sex, but we can't hear them or see them.
I think I'm going to go three years and there's Channel 4 are going to have Murder Box.
We just did The Running Man.
Yeah.
Everyone would love that.
I would love that.
Anyway, let's talk films.
Firstly, Marek, you've been to the cinema this week.
I've been to cinema, but Joel's quite a big film fan as well. So you're going to see quite a lot of blockbusters.
Yeah.
We asked you to bring in a film. Before, you made some awful suggestions of things that you wanted to talk about.
Well, this is the problem with me, Marek Larwood and David Reed. Mm. I love terrible films. Like, I love really... I'm not really into indie films and stuff like that. The films that everyone goes like, oh my god, that's amazing, it's the best thing ever. What was that film that was the one about with Kirsten Dunst in it about the two worlds?
Oh, but the...
Melancholia.
That, for me, was the worst film I've ever seen.
I've not seen it.
I enjoyed it.
I hated it so bad. I wanted to just punch myself in the dick. Like, the worst film I've ever seen. Right? But people were like, oh, it's so amazing. I like things like Pacific Rim, where it's like you go to the cinema and it's just like epic, just like, and there's a massive robot just punching a like monster in the face. Like, that is amazing.
But the other thing you said you wanted to talk about was One Direction.
I went to see the One Direction movie. Now, this is the problem, right? I went to see the One Direction movie because no one else wanted to see it with me. So... I had to go see it by myself.
Weird.
But then when you go see it by yourself, which is weird in itself, because there's only kids in the cinema, and then it's a 3D movie, so you're made to wear dark glasses. So you've got dark glasses on, and you're sort of the only adult surrounded by kids in a dark room, and it's really weird.
But you look quite young and trendy, so I think it'd be a lot easier if I did it, then there would be someone stopping me at the door. What is it like then? What is it actually a film in its own right?
Is it like Spice World?
It's not like Spice World, because Spice World went for it a little bit more, because they were like, we're characters of ourselves, in a way.
And then cram it full of celebrity cameos.
Exactly. The One Direction movie, I enjoyed, but I thought the Justin Bieber movie was better.
Oh my
if
God.
I can say such.
This is a hitherto untapped genre. We have not even touched upon this
stuff.
I made
a film about Justin Bieber during the week.
You did, didn't you?
Have his
people been in touch?
No, I made a film because I was bored about... This is a side thing. I thought, because my girlfriend works in the web and SEO and all the search terms, so I thought, the key search term, Justin Bieber was one of the biggest search terms on Google, and so is sex. So I thought, I'll make up a film which has got Justin Bieber and sex in the title, put it on YouTube, put some adverts on it, and that way it will go mental and I'll make loads of money.
And is it working? Are you making loads of money?
They took the adverts off after one day.
The mistake you made was no one wants to be associated with your product.
They took the adverts off the thing. I was so upset. But the whole point of me doing it was trying to make money and get people to my... That's my dream. I don't have to actually do any work. Crappy films.
So what are the five top search terms? Can you remember?
No, that's what they're the huge people always search for sex and stuff like that, and things that it's quite odd internet behaviour.
I wonder if they search for sex before Justin Bieber or Justin Bieber after sex.
I think he's quite asexual. But let's get back to the film. Sorry, what happens in the Justin Bieber film then?
So the Justin Bieber one, they're basically both the same. They both track the meteoric rise to fame and how quick it happens.
Oh, they're documentaries.
Yeah, they're documentaries, and. So the One Direction one goes through the whole X Factor thing, and then it was the you know, they get big in America because all their fans tweet about them and stuff, and then it's just like...
Is there a lowest ebb in the middle, or is it just a straight line, this story?
Basically, both of them, the sort of, the jeopardy, if you will, is in the One Direction one, it's the fact that they've never really been home for like 3 years.
So their family forget them.
Yeah, so their family are like, I haven't seen him, two and a half years.
They're not all from up north, are they?
One of them is, I think.
Look at me like I know everyone from up north.
One of them's our friend from one of the last Practical Jokers.
Oh, was that who that was?
Yeah, I didn't know who this person was, and he said a nice thing about this programme we're in.
You got retweeted like 25,000 times.
And my phone just, I had it on some weird, I just got hold of Twitter and what it has to do it. So I set my phone to buzz every time I get a new follower or something. I was on the train back to the Isle of Wight. I'm setting the scene here. Yeah. Around Christmas time. Suddenly my phone starts going mental. Look, about 5,000 followers in a second because he retweeted me and tweeted me directly, this Louis Tomlinson guy.
How many of those new followers do you still have?
I think if I write something offensive, which is quite regular, I lose about 500. But probably 30% of my fans... Twitter followers, maybe even more, are from somewhere in South America who've seen that he's interacted with me. And
I'd say get 5 new followers a day, still to this day, at least one of them will be Emily Hart Louis.
Yeah.
At love.
He's got star. Over 10 million followers on Twitter. That's how much they're worth.
Yeah. That's a lot.
I like
those sorts of movies.
Why do you like them?
Well, it's quite I cried at watching the Justin Bieber one.
That's wonderful.
I cried. I was weeping. And
what happened?
Luckily, I was wearing 3D glasses, so my 3D glasses fogged up. I can't remember what happened. It was something like oh, I'm too famous to go into Virgin Megastars.
That would be really sad.
You know?
What's he like? How does he come across?
He comes across all right, because it was kind of before he became a bit of a dick. Like, cause he's a bit of a dick now.
I've heard that.
But the One Direction boys seem like nice people, and I think that's the aim of it. That's the aim of these films in general, is to.
But they're not made by sort of independent documentary crews who really want to know about One Direction. They're propaganda puff pieces for these stars, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, there's. I've no idea. I've never watched one of these films, but I'm sure there's a Katy Perry one out there.
There is a Katy Perry one. I've seen it. It's great.
Okay.
It's really good.
Is there a Miley Cyrus one?
There isn't, but there probably will be one soon.
No, that's probably... There probably isn't enough material of her being happy and wonderful.
And fully close.
Yeah,
Katy Perry one's great. I watched that on a plane on the way back from New York.
What happens in that?
Well, you know when you're on a plane...
Oh, yeah.
You have heightened sense of emotion.
It's like
crying.
Being on your back.
Yes. And I was on the plane and I was like, it was that night time, so most people were asleep, and I can't sleep on planes because I get too excited about the film selections. So like, I just watch films for like 12 hours and then I get back and instantly regret that decision. And so I was like really excited, and it was really dark, and I was watching the Katy Perry film, everyone else was asleep. Her film goes around the thing of her getting divorced from Russell Brand and her doing a tour, and it's really knackering. And that's basically the sort of through line of all of them, is that they're all touring and they're really tired. Like, that's the general through line.
It's like comedians when they start to, when they start out and it's some interesting things to say.
Yeah.
All comedians start touring. So all they do is talk about being on the train, hotels, or eventually when they get kids and they get stuck at home with the kids.
Yeah. Homogenises material.
That's what I wanted to say in 2 words.
Yeah. That's all right. That's why I'm here.
But yeah, I was on this flight on the way back from New York in the darkness, and just I was crying my eyes out, and the lady walked to the stewardess, walked past and saw me crying, and she was like, "Are you all right?" And I was like, "Don't worry." And then she looked, and then there's Katy Perry was on the screen. It was the most embarrassing I've ever felt.
Oh, God.
Did you feel like a firework?
I did. I felt like a paper bag flying through the air.
awesome. Well, I was about to say we should probably watch one of those films so we can be completists, but I don't know if I can.
Out of all of them, I'd say absolutely watch the Katy Perry one.
Okay.
I think it's my favourite of the three. But they're all pretty equal, you know. The Katy Perry one shows her slightly in a bad... It feels a bit more impartial, even though it's not.
Mm.
Whereas the Wonder
Maybe she's a real arsehole, then.
Yeah.
If she can't even come across what her film was supposed to be.
I've shared a stage with her.
Really?
Yeah.
Which bit?
I was sat in the VIP section on stage of Let's Dance for Sport Relief while she was performing. Some, I don't know, 10 metres away from me.
That's
Did she
cool.
feel excited?
No, it was sort of really precise and professional, and then she left.
She touched my face.
Really? Or
really, was, okay. really.
She used to work at MTV.
Not in,
you?
Like, the sort of sense of, like, she touched my soul. She actually
Which I keep on my face.
Yeah, she, I interviewed her for MTV. Actually, at on the red carpet for the film we're talking of.
Oh, okay.
And I asked her something like, I was like, oh, it's quite an emotional film. How did it, were you scared of including the emotional parts in your film in the final cut of it or something like that? And she went, oh, were you sad when you watched it? Were you sad? And I was like, yeah, a little bit. And then she went, did a little tear run down your face? And then she ran her finger down my face. And she was one of the best people I've ever interviewed. Like,
did it feel it when she touched your face? Did you feel electricity?
Yeah, I felt like magic.
Was her finger smooth or was it a bit rough?
Was
it hairy?
It was like the finger of someone who's probably, you know, like a northern finger, someone who's been down the mines.
Do you think that's been in Russell Brand's ass?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, it did smell like Russell Brand's ass.
Hang on, there's a 9-year-old listening to this. Well,
Russell Brand's bottom.
Yeah.
What are your other recommendations? We went to see... We went to go see a film together in Glasgow, didn't we? Not Alpha Papa, the other one.
Oh. What was the other one we went to see?
The science fiction one with Matt Damon.
Oh, the Elysium.
Oh, right.
Elysium. What were you going to say?
Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, no.
Weird film.
That's weird.
I've not seen Elysium.
What did you think of Elysium?
Oh, I talked about it on here. We said it was disappointing.
But yeah.
It was odd being in the cinema. It was completely ram-packed full.
It's a nice thing, isn't it? You get that at the IMAX when there's a massive release on. It's really good atmosphere.
Talk about new releases. The one that everyone's sort of raving about, it's even making my voice break, is Gravity.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's one to go and see at the IMAX. But I've heard it's got amazing reviews.
I am like a massive trailer fan. Like, I don't know whether you guys are.
Yeah, I am, and then I regret it.
Yes, yeah.
It's like sort of junk food. You go, oh, yes, and then you go, oh, I've sort of spoiled the story for me.
That's exactly it. Like, I sit there, like, all day. I sometimes just have a half a day, and I won't do anything else, and I'll just sort of keep it off, because I know I want to watch trailers, like, a whole half a day. And because I've just moved into my new house, I haven't had internet for ages, I can't wait to get internet because I'm just going to be so many trailers I haven't seen.
It's the whole back end of the year.
Oh,
on trailers.
So excited. But the Gravity one was like, there was an extended trailer release.
I'm not going to watch any trailers on it because it would ruin it.
And it kind of was a bit too, it was like 6 minutes long or something. So it's kind of like quite a lot of the film. But it's basically the whole thing is it's people in spacesuits just go,
Sounds
for
amazing.
6 minutes.
Sounds like the film is probably a 2-hour version of that bit at the beginning of Tomorrow Never Dies. You Only Live Twice, where the astronaut's line gets cut.
Yes, that's literally it.
2 hours of that.
But it's literally like there's like an object. Like, I'm holding up a Diet Coke here.
If you can picture the scene.
This is the trailer. So it's
Joel
like someone
sitting on a sofa holding a Diet Coke.
Going like,
he can't quite reach it.
That's
God,
it.
She really wants a Diet Coke.
She really wants a Diet Coke.
I think it made me think, if Diet Coke saw this, there's a whole new advertising campaign.
Yeah.
With the film.
Yeah. But as long as they don't let you do the advert.
I think Bullock's too classy to do it herself.
Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's letters time.
Okay, who's been corresponding with us?
Well, not enough people.
Oh.
If people want to correspond, David, how would they do it?
You can email us at dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, or why not write on our Facebook page, facebook.com/filmfandango, or simply tweet us @filmfandango.
But listen, this is really important. Yeah. I want to see us in real life. Right. Not doing the podcast, but maybe like doing some sort of interactive quiz. I mean, tickets are £7.50. It sounds like quite a lot, but everyone's going to get a prize. It's really good fun. When can I do this?
Well, we are doing our second ever Film Fandango live.
What?
On the 29th of October. That's right. It's close to Halloween, but we've not really themed it properly. But we're going to be doing a quiz. It's all films. We'll be showing short films we've made ourselves. We haven't decided on the difficulty level yet. It's probably going to be all-inclusive. So grab your teams and come on down. It's going to be at the Forge in Camden, London, England, on the 29th of October.
Details are on our Facebook wall.
Yes.
There have been some people on our Facebook writing in.
Mm-hmm.
Simon Skulltock.
Great name.
Great name, The Skulltocks.
A few weeks ago, we talked about our favourite films in our 100th episode. Mine was Flight of Dragons. Yours was...
Time Bandits.
Skulltocks tracked down the Flight of Dragons.
Sounds like some sort of climbing device.
I thought it sounded like a deviant Viking sexual practice.
Well, that's the different way our minds work.
Skulltock.
Skulltocking.
Have you got the Skulltock? I need it to get to the peak. That's what I'm thinking.
It does sound like climbing, I reckon. What's a Viking Skulltock?
Hey?
Can you give me a Viking...
What's a Viking Skulltock reference?
Well, I just simply threw him into the yurt and Skulltocked him till morning.
It does sound like basically putting something, making a hole in someone's head. It's like trafeening, isn't it?
Yeah.
It sounds like Skullfuck, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that's a... That's another explicit
episode. Oh well.
Anyway, Skulltock's written this in his first name, Simon. I was put off by the cover of Flight of Dragons, and I thought Merritt must be mentally ill to think that what looked like a hideous twee Disney-ish animation was the best film of all time. Thanks to Podcast 100, I've now researched a bit further and realised my mistake. I found a screenshot. Now I'm going to watch it. Sorry for doubting your sanity, Merrick. And he adds, 3 days later when he starts to watch it, 20 to midnight.
Yeah.
Just started watching it, then I realise it's way too late to watch a film. But Owls, delivering letters to wizards, where have I seen that before? Rowling, you thief.
Well, the evidence stacks up, doesn't it? It comes back again and again. We keep talking about it. You know, I'll tell Joel this because we've said it before. A film called Troll 2 about a boy who wants to be a wizard, and he's called Harry Potter, and that came out before the first book was written. Yes.
That's almost so obvious.
It's like, why wouldn't you pick another name?
Just change a name.
Barry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
He's called Barry Potter in Russia, apparently.
Why?
Because they can't pronounce the H. There's no H in their alphabet. Or is it Gary?
Just like Cockney.
It's either Gary or Barry.
Gary would be a lot better.
Harry Potter.
Gary Potter would
Gary
be good.
Potter.
Yeah.
So please write in or tweet in or just do something.
It's an interesting little thing, Flight of Dragons. I'm glad I've seen it.
I've never seen it.
See, this is and what Skulltock's gone on about saying is a point I made in the podcast that the cover they've got of the DVD is terrible.
Mm.
It's like someone's drawn a really bad. Like you've got your aunt to say, can you just do a version of this Terminator for the cover for Terminator 2?
Yeah, and then aunt's version's so bad they've got a sort of apprentice graphic designer to colour it in with a computer. Just like spray paint.
Yeah, kind of it's like an Edinburgh poster.
Yeah.
You know, like some people just don't do good Edinburgh posters.
Except one you would have in the Free Fringe.
Yeah.
It's a book greatest film of
all time. Hey, there are some quality shows in the Free Fringe
now. There is.
You're right.
Don't be part of the machine.
This isn't a comedy podcast. It's a blooming film podcast. And Joe has put in a film that is at least half decent.
Yes. Now, we asked you to bring in a film to talk about, and the film you chose was...
Overboard.
Overboard. What year is this, Marek? Do you remember?
87, I think it is.
87.
Surprisingly late, actually.
Goldie Hawn.
Apparently back at her best.
She's wonderful.
Private Benjamin.
Can you tell us a bit about the film? Basically what happens in the film.
So, this film was originally suggested to me by Nicholas Helm. Nick Helm, a comedy man. And And I was like, okay, watched it. My girlfriend absolutely loves this film. Like, loves it. And what I love about it is it's a very grey area of sort of, like, legality and...
Can you explain the plot?
And morality, really.
Morality. What happens in the plot, basically?
So, basically, the plot is that we've got this really rich woman who, she loses her memory. And so this guy who she's kind of annoyed...
Kurt Russell.
He's a carpenter making a shoe shelf on her boat.
Yeah.
On her yacht. Mm-hmm. And she's incredibly rude to him and pushes him overboard and throws his tools after him. And he's really upset about it.
Yeah.
Not upset enough, really, but he's sort of upset.
Yeah. It's kind of just weird. The whole film is just... It's just brilliant. You can't help but love it. And then he goes basically and claims her as his wife, even though she's not. And then tells her that, you know, these are her kids and this is your life.
The four boys.
Which is, again, funny because it's like, it's basically saying, like, oh, men, they can't look after kids. Look what kids would be like if men owned them. You know, it's these four kids just like going absolutely mental constantly. And then that's kind of it, really.
Essentially, some building work started there. I'm sure that's going to really...
Apologies.
Essentially, Kurt Russell has kidnapped her and taken advantage of her amnesia and is using her as a slave.
Yes.
But it doesn't really ever feel bad, does it?
It's weird, isn't it? But you know why it doesn't feel bad? This is the best thing about it. This is what's amazing about the film. It never feels morally wrong, because any time that something happens that feels like it's about to be morally wrong, some music comes on and goes...
We should talk about the music in this. I remember watching this when it first came out, I think, when I was a kid. It's one of the films you get when you used to go to the video shop, and it's in that sort of family bracket range.
With LA Story and stuff like that.
It's in the whole... In the 80s, I grew up with Mannequin... Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, yeah.
Those films. This is in and Private Benjamin, which is brilliant. It's that sort of style, happy sort of upbeat films.
I really like this film. I hadn't seen it since I was a kid.
Oh,
either. I'd seen it before. Yeah, and I remember really enjoying it. But the overriding memory for me was the shoe cupboard and how awesome it was.
Yeah.
And
I just built a shoe cupboard yesterday in my new house.
Revolving.
But it wasn't revolving, and so nothing's going to be as good as that ever.
It took him 2 hours, apparently.
2 hours?
But everyone knows, what do you make shoe covers out of? Cedar, not oak.
No. What a fool. I think the morality is almost exclusively, and this is quite wrong, but almost exclusively based on she was awful before, therefore anything else is better for her. It's better for her.
What I love about it is that she wasn't that awful. Like, she was awful as a person, but it's not like she killed anyone or anything. So, like, it's kind of like, it's not quite deserving of... of what she gets, you know?
Aww.
It's like, if she'd done something really, really horrific, then you'd be like, oh, well, she kind of deserves to be his essential slave for ages.
They were already going out when they made this movie.
Yeah, and that's what I also love about it. The fact that
they met on Swing Shift some years earlier.
In 84.
She'd already had Kate Hudson with a previous husband.
She was married twice beforehand.
Three times. Like, twice before, and she's not married to Kurt Russell. They're just together.
Yeah, and they've been together for like 25 years.
They were almost split a few years ago.
I don't know.
Together.
I've not called them in a while.
We should really meet up with those.
I know. Shows. It's rude of us to talk about them, but not to them.
What I find odd... about these films is what their idea of squalor, and it's quite interesting. I think what I used to think was squalor now being, and this is talking, we've had a few references with them. We talked about Time, where the Richard Curtis always makes people the middle class, but in fact they are actually rich.
Yeah.
They've got massive houses.
Yeah.
And even in this one, it's supposed to be this terrible house. We think, well, That's still a detached, really, really pretty cottage.
Yeah. Squalor is basically living like the Goonies.
Yeah.
Where you have contraptions, yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently the working class have just pulley systems everywhere.
You still live in essentially a mansion.
Yes.
But if you put your clothes on the floor,
yeah.
that's a hovel.
And if you've got animals wandering around.
Yes. Yeah. That's always the key, isn't it? Animals that wake you up and lick your face.
Aww. Good dogs in this film. Good dogs.
Yeah.
It's something upbeat about it. I can't put... Whether it's the soundtrack, which is so awful, utterly... but fun. It's incredible how someone got paid for this keyboard. When the film starts out, you've got a shot of the sea.
Yes.
Terrible credits.
Yeah.
Really bad sort of keyboards, half hillbilly, sort of 80s music.
Yeah, yeah.
And contrary to all expectations, it really works. It has to be something said, but
I think a lot of it's charm.
Good, yeah, Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell are brilliant.
They're so good. They can't possibly actually be wrong because they're so charming and effortless. I mean, Kurt Russell obviously carrying the amoral act in this particular film, but it's one you want them to be together, yeah. So you're willing to overlook it because in this instance, it's right.
Yeah.
You know, she's great for his kids and all of that. I love in this film, and I could not tell you why, her husband.
Mm.
Everything he says, I just found myself laughing out loud. And they're not really jokes. He's not really even...
He also is the vampire in Lost Boys, the head vampire.
Oh, yeah, that's where I recognised him from.
There we go. Not Kiefer Sutherland.
No, the head vampire who Kiefer Sutherland... Who
grooms the other ones? The vampire groomer.
Yes, but it is. I think Kurt Russell is so underrated. If you think this is the same guy who's doing, he was the face of Disney, wasn't he, when he first started out? He did loads of Disney films and quite family friendly films, and he's doing this. And he can pull off romantic comedies, and yet he does The Thing, possibly one of my favourite ever horror movies.
What's his big film?
Big Trouble
Box Office, we can look up, but Big Trouble in Little China's him, The Thing must be up there.
The Thing
there.
I think that's his biggest success.
Yeah, because I was just trying to think, like, what's his big...
Well, I've just put his name into IMDb, and you can always tell what your big thing is, because it comes up first.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
which is The Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's just on IMDb hits, rather than on Box Office. But it's probably The Thing, isn't it?
Because I'm a bit too young for that stuff. So I only remember him from called Escape from L.A.?
Yeah.
Yes. Good film. Another good film.
And Escape from New York.
From New York. Which one was the first one? Was Escape from L.A. the first one?
I think Escape from New York was the first one.
Escape from New York.
Okay. Lifetime grossing. Let's have a look. Seems to be... Poseidon. No, that can't be right.
But that has changed, hasn't it? Money-wise, has changed.
Sky High. I bloody love Sky High. Have you seen it?
I've seen Sky High.
He plays a superhero dad of a kid who doesn't have any powers and sends him to superhero school because the kid's pretending he does.
Is that quite recent?
Yeah, relatively. Sort of last 10 years. It's a really good, fun kids movie.
Now, last week I watched Blue Jasmine. And it's interesting, the fact that Goldie Hawn's character and the plight of her, the rough, without all the kidnapping and all the business,
yeah.
The whole sort of way, the story of the character is really similar to Cate Blanchett's story. Really similar characters to off with. That.
Well, it's the Taming of the Shrew, isn't it? Isn't that what Overboard is, basically? I mean,
I've actually read The Taming of the Shrew.
Not to get too wanky about it, but it's about taming this absolute harridan of a woman until she becomes a pliable wife and mother. That is what it is.
Are you trying to tell me The Taming of the Shrew came before Overboard?
There's no mention of the comparison online. I've looked, but there's that quite weirdly sort of highbrow, almost indie bit in Overboard where Kurt Russell tells the tale, the legend behind why the sailors honk three times.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's this love story sort of poem about Katerina and Arturo, and then that comes back at the end, which is sort of the sweet thing when they swim towards each other. And Katerina is the name of the woman in The Taming of the Shrew. So I was just wondering if it's a nod to it, you know?
I love it. Someone's actually thought about it a little bit.
You assume that they haven't.
It's, well, it's a remake. It's sort of a nod to an older film as well, apparently, Overboard.
If you take the bang, 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 bang music out, it's actually a really cultured, epic, beautiful piece of literature.
I like to see that music in every film.
Yeah.
See if it made films better or worse.
We'd like make Terminator 2 amazing.
Or other soundtracks that make film... That soundtrack could only work with this film.
Imagine if you swapped around Terminator 2 music... Wow. For like Overboard.
Have you seen the
I've done it online.
People
it's supposed to be Cedar.
People adding 70s TV music to Star Wars makes it so much less classy instantly.
<That's>
it looks so much and you realise the film stock is from the same time. It doesn't have a different look. It's just they cast a spell on it, really, with the music and art direction combined, but they've done a sort of a 70s title sequence of like people turning to camera and smiling just from shots that sort of match up. Really good.
That's who I saw that other film based also that I really, really loved. Did you see that Ben Affleck Batman Goodwill Hunting mashup?
Oh no, I haven't seen
it. You'd love it. It's so funny. It's basically Ben Affleck in Good Will Hunting, but whenever it cuts to him, he's in the Batman costume. And it's just the funniest thing ever. Like,
Where can people find that?
Just YouTube.
We'll find it on YouTube and we'll put it on the Facebook page. Yeah,
it's very funny.
Awesome.
So any other recommendations from this year? Have we talked enough about Overboard?
Well, I think so. I mean, I thought it was one of those films that if it's on and you've not seen it on a sort of Sunday afternoon, then you should definitely carry on watching it.
It surprises you how good it is.
Yeah.
Because you watch it and you're like, oh, it's one of those ones you just kind of go, oh, whatever. And then 15 minutes in, you're like, this is so brilliant. Such a good film.
That's Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
But bearing in mind, I do love the Justin Bieber movie. So, I mean, it's hard to know where it comes
from. Well, based on that, I will too.
Yeah.
Because I thought Overboard was great.
I think...
it's so
you've
hard.
Robbed yourself of any...
moral obligation.
No.
Credibility.
Yes. By your description of what films you like. But maybe they're good, though. I haven't watched them. It's me being...
Yeah, you're judging a book by its cover.
Like people did with Flight of Dragons. You should learn from your own preachings.
Yes, exactly. You know what? Justin Bieber can make a decent film. It grossed 100 million at the box office, and it only cost 13 million to make.
How did it even cost 13 million to make? Him on his iPhone.
But the best thing about the Justin Bieber movie is that it's in 3D, but completely needlessly. So it's in normal, and then the 3D bits are him... at the concert, because it cuts between him at a concert, so it'd be like a song every sort of 10 minutes or something.
Right.
And so it's completely normal, and you're like, oh, I don't know, why is this in 3D? And then a song comes on, and it's just him at a concert, him just constantly pointing at the screen. And he's just constantly like grabbing at you and pointing
so
at you.
So young girls think for they're being touched by.
Yeah.
A bit like when Katy Perry stroked your face.
Yeah, very similar, but it happened in real life.
And it's mass-produced so that Justin Bieber can touch everyone's face simultaneously without actually doing anything.
I'm thinking about it. Maybe she didn't touch my face. Maybe I was just watching a film in 3D.
3D on a plane would be weird. Tiny 3D. It's a little tiny 3D coming at you. Well, no, I wouldn't like that. A tiny hand coming at you.
Oh, that would just make me cry even more. I don't think I could handle it. Unbelievable.
Well, that's Overboard.
That's Overboard.
And that is about it for this week, isn't it?
That is about it for this week. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contribute towards our running costs at all, bit of admin at the end, then please do. You can do so at filmfandango.co.uk. And to everyone who's already contributed, thank you very much. It's appreciated.
Is there anything you'd like to plug, Joel? Anything coming up?
I am touring in February, March... and April of the next year.
If I want to go and see you, I want to get tickets right now.
Go on joeldommett.com.
How do you spell that?
J-O-E-L-D-O-M-M for mother, E-double-T. The mother bit, that's not in the address.
Okay.
Double M for mother.
Double M for mother.
J-O-E-L-D-O-M-M-E-double-T.
Double T. It's a mistake that most people make.
.com.
Yes. I went to order Sky Broadband this week and put it all through, went fine. And he was like, okay, charged me £20 for connection fee. I was like, cool. Yeah. Then I got a text the next day saying, we're unable to process your request. And so I called them back and turned out the man on the phone had spelt my name J-I-L-D-U-M-N-E-T.
Oh my...
Jill Dummett. And like, is it... like, not even close.
Okay.
We'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
And buy tickets to go and see Joe. He's really great. All right. See you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.